Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, hello there. As always, it's a blessing and an honor to be with each and every one of you. Just walked in and sat down, as you saw, and I am, as they say, on the road again. My grandson, Michael Connor, my son Michael, and my daughter-in-law, Angela's firstborn, will be graduating, so I'll be leaving tonight or early in the morning to go to Fairfield, Connecticut for Michael's baccalaureate and his graduation. So again, I would just ask that you would pray for safe travels and a blessing on Michael's baccalaureate and his graduation. And I am very proud of him. You know, he's been rowing all 4 years, brought Fairfield as a freshman, brought their first gold medal home to Fairfield, and he's just an amazing young man. So please remember to say a prayer for him, and also my grandson Aiden, who will be going to Texas for a internship, and I will miss his birthday because I will be away on his birthday on the 18th. So special blessings and to my granddaughter, who will be making her her graduation from 8th grade, Taryn Grace McCarthy. Beautiful young woman, loves the Lord. Very hard to believe that she'll be entering high school, but it happens in the blink of an eye, doesn't it, my brothers and sisters? When you look at your grown children, don't you think, like, where has the time gone? Where has it gone? Maybe it's just me, but the older I get, it seems like in a blink of an eye, my children were babies and now they're being grandparents. So it's just an amazing thing to me that in a blink of an eye, they're all grown up. So again, I just want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you. You know what you mean to me. I have never encountered in all my years in ministry and throughout my apostolates, I have never encountered in all these years family of radio listeners and those who watch me live do my radio program. So I've never, ever saw anything like your loyalty, your love, your steadfastness, and above all, your love for the Lord and Our Lady, and actively aware of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that all those gifts of the Holy Spirit are manifested through and activated through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to praise and thank God for each one of you. I never get tired of saying it, never, ever. And my brothers and sisters, I hope you never get tired of hearing it, because I say it from my heart to each of your hearts. You are truly an amazing, amazing blessing in my life. Well, today I'm flying solo. Father's away, and he'll be back on the 22nd, and I'll be gone. But I just wanted to tell you that I am overwhelmed with your friendship, your love, your sincerity, your authenticity. as men and women of God, sons and daughters of the Most High God. And so I am ever most grateful. So I'm going to read the gospel to you today. I didn't even get time to bring it up, so I just put it on my phone. And the gospel today is for May 16th. And it's about unity in the mystical body of Christ, you know, one of my favorite things. And the scripture is from John 17 and verses 20 to 26. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who believe in me through their word. I want you to enter into this scripture. I want you to really grasp what God is saying, what the scriptures say, and what the Lord is saying through the scriptures to you and to me. He's praying for you. You know, God is ever anxious, ever new. He's outside of time and spent space. And so when he was reciting that prayer, he was praying for, literally, for you. He was praying for me. He was praying for your children, your grandchildren. He was praying for your mates, your families. He was praying for each of our mates, our families. He was praying for all the areas of our life that we need his grace and his strength and his courage. Again, he says, I do not pray for these alone. So he's not just praying for those people at that time and that day, but also for those who believe in me through their word. Your word. My word. All those people that we have touch their lives by the words we speak, by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. And all those words that have touched other people's lives that you have spoken life into, faith into, hope into. These are the people that the scripture is talking about. All those who will believe through our word. It's something, isn't this an amazing gospel? And it goes on further to say, pull it back up again, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I just think this is such a Trinitarian love letter from our one triune God. And I think this scripture in John is so powerful to help us really begin to actively get involved in this prayer from the Father's heart. He prayed that all those that we would come in contact with, he's outside of time and space, he's praying for each one of us in this scripture. And he prays that all would be one. And how lovely is this? Even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. You know, when you ponder that scripture, you see the very purpose each one of us have been called to. God is love, fully and completely. There's not one thing, no matter how great it is, there's not one thing we could do. Not one thing I could do. Not one thing you could do. The greatest saint was nothing they could do that would make God love them anymore. God is love. God is love. as the great Saint Benedict said when he wrote his book. He was talking about how we all long to see the face of God. And when we ponder the scripture verse, we can see how actively the Father was talking with his son Jesus, and Jesus talking to the Father about praying for each of us, that wherever we go, whatever we did, and the words that we speak, words have power. And when we speak his word, we touch the very soul of mankind. And when we remember that the Father says that he is one with Jesus, when he says for each one of us that those we pray for would be one in us, because Jesus rests and abides within us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're blessed. There's nothing we could do to earn that pure gift. But the beauty of cooperating with grace and cooperating with the Holy Spirit is that we're a part of that. We're a part of helping others become one in our triune God, to be hearts and souls that become open, that they too might be one in the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Why? That the world may know. This is the Father he's talking to, that the world may know that you sent me. Because in those days, there were so many who did not believe that the Father sent Jesus as his only Son to come and suffer, die, and rise again. And so he thought that if, you know, this is what he says, others will come to know and believe that Jesus was the one sent to be the only one that could have been a sin offering. It was only his blood, fully innocent, the sinless one, who could have redeemed us. And that redemption cost him his life, his flesh, his blood, for you and for me, so that he could send us the Holy Spirit, and that the Spirit of God that dwells within each and every one of us, baptized Christians, for each one of them, for each one of us, others will come to believe in this day and in this time when there's so much darkness, so much evil in the world. They will come to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Just like at the cross, when the centurion who pierced Jesus' side and blood and water flowed out. And what did he say? Truly, truly, this is the Son of God. He was a centurion. He was the one that was at the crucifixion. He was the one that pierced his side and saw that blood and water come out. Baptism. How amazing is it? Our souls must be very, very important. Not only that the enemy constantly is trying to get us to trip up, get us to be depressed or give up hope or get confused or walk away because it's too hard and give up and whisper those lies in all the believers' ears that, hey, God's not even listening to you. Why do you bother waste your time? Well, the truth is, think about it. If we live by that, none of us would go to a doctor because, hey, people get sick. Why bother? And that goes on and on and on. But our God lives and dwells within us. He feeds us and he nourishes us with his own body and his own blood when he enters each one of our souls. And so he gives us the living word within us to speak as the Holy Spirit activates that within us and empowers us to speak that others might come to believe, just as the centurion said, truly, this man was the Son of God. And so this is how much he loves us. The enemy's trying to rob and steal from us our faith, our hope, our trust, our very lives. That's what the enemy is coming to do. That's how important our souls are, that the enemy's going crazy trying to devour any one of us that he could. But nobody, Jesus says this, nobody under any circumstances, when we believe in the Lord, when we live into the best that we can live, when we repent, when we fall, we go to confession, Jesus tells us nobody can grasp us out of his hand. Isn't that comforting? When we look at ourselves and look at our families and our friends, our children, all those things in their lives that we pray for and want all the very best to come forth in their lives. We want them to be delivered. We want them to be healed. We want them to find that personal relationship with Jesus, because there's nothing else that can make us happy. Oh, we can, you know, happiness isn't a ha-ha thing, or happiness isn't about a time or a place or a thing fulfilling something in us. It's only God. That's why we can't find it in all the other things in our lives that we try to fill in all those empty places, because it doesn't exist, my brothers and sisters. If we don't have God in our lives, we'll never have lasting peace under any circumstances. We'll never have hope when things seem hopeless. We'll never have strength when we're overwhelmed or we're tired and we feel weak. It is through the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. And that's why he tells us that no one will ever be able to grasp out of his hand. Nobody. That's why I tell everybody all the time to, if you're worried about your children, you love Our Lady, you know she's sinless one through her Immaculate Conception. She was born without concupiscence, without sin. She was immaculately conceived, and because God is God, he redeemed her beforehand. Did the scripture say, in the fullness of time, the Father searched, in the fullness of time, he found Mary. The fullness of time. And he said he called the Virgin, and he bestowed on her the announcement from the angel that she was the one that was chosen to be the mother of the Most High God's Son. And so I think this speaks so powerfully to me. I'm going to finish on with it. I don't think while I was on the air did I break this down instead of speaking it through first, but I feel led to as I read it. So again, he says that we also may that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Okay, here we are again. It's the glory that the Father gave Jesus. And he says, I have given it to them that they may be one, even as we are one. Isn't that beautiful? We're one with the Father, and because we've been, adopted through our brother Jesus, who laid down his life for us and redeemed us, we are now children of the Most High God. That they might be one in us. It's beautiful. This part's hard for us, but this is what we're challenged to do. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them. Imagine that. We've been given glory. When we speak of the Lord, we've been given glory, because it's the glory of God within us that will bring about conversions. My brothers and sisters, I wish I could share with you completely what I have seen, what I have heard, and what is about to come. But for those of us who believe, for those of us who have a quiet soul in the midst of all the chaos that's going on and will continue to go on and get worse, in the midst of it all, if we remember that God has this, and not to be filled with anxiety and fear and dread, but look forward to what God has in store for us. And when we're at peace, no matter what comes against us, boy, and there's so much that comes against us, but no matter what comes against us, we're told we're not to fear the arrows that fly by night or day, because our God is protecting us. And you know what? When we come to that full realization that God is head over heels in love with us, and that his mother that he gave to each of us from the cross, his holy mother, her immaculate heart, is our mother. And you know what? Every parent, every father, every mother, we have our faults, we have our failings, we have our weaknesses. And boy, we do anything for our children. To know that they would be with us, but more importantly, with the Lord forever in paradise. We'd do anything we could to help, to guide, to lead, to help them physically, spiritually, emotionally, monetarily. So how do you think our Mother Mary, who was given to us from her own Son Jesus' heart, how much more do you think she's concerned for us? How much more do you think that the mother of Jesus, our Savior, who has accepted each one of us as her spiritual children, how much more do you think she's like a lioness of Judah? She's not just a meek little quiet soul that sits, in heaven by the right hand. She is the lioness of Judah, and she fights for us, and she places us under her mantle, the mantle that helps us see clearly when our vision is blurred by the enemy. it's our lovely mother. She's going to fight for your children. She brings those intentions of ours right to the throne of God. On numerous occasions, I've spoken and given actual retreats on that theme, that she's more mother than queen. More mother than queen. We can trust our children into those beautiful hands that held Jesus' hands from the time he was born, that traced his lips with her fingers, that played with his little feet, that changed his diapers and walked him through the night when he was cutting teeth. These are the same hands that are watching over and tending to our own children, because she's a perfect mother. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again, and I'm going to continue with the gospel. I'm trying to get it up here on my... I don't know why it's not coming up. But at any rate, I'm going to finish this gospel up and then share a couple things with you. You know, in that gospel that I just read to you, the last word was, I made known to them your name, and I will make it known that the love with which you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. I have already revealed your name to them. So he's talking to his disciples, his apostles, believers. And he says, and I will make it known. It's for all of us. He was praying for all. He was praying for you, John. He was praying for you, Vince. He was praying for you, Jeannie. He was praying for you, Jane. He was praying for you, Monsignor. He was praying for you, Anne McClone. was praying for you, Mary B. He was praying for Sammy. He was praying for each and every one of us, for his priest, for his religious, for all those that he died for, that we might live. And as I said, he gave us the Immaculate One, who will guide us and lead us through the storms of life. Mary on one side, and the Eucharist on the other, and the Holy Father guiding the ship through the storms. That was a dream, remember, John Bosco had. And it is true. We will see, you and I will see, the power of Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. We will see it triumph. True. It will not be postponed. It will not be delayed. It will happen. God's perfect timing. And our timing in these days and these times we're living in. And so, you know, sometimes with all the noise in the world and all the distractions in the world, all the grieving, all the crazy, upside down, inside out world we live in, Lord, we just know, sent us the Spirit, and He said it is better for us that He goes back to the Father, or He couldn't send the Spirit. You know, think about these apostles, disciples. They walked with him, talked with him. Ate with him, broke bread with him. They sat around. They walked from town to town. And they saw him raise the dead. They saw him, those that were incapacitated, couldn't walk. Maybe some of them were just strapped to things in the world, like the person on the stretcher. They were so attached to the things that held them down, where they couldn't move forward, where they couldn't go forth. But Jesus set them free, just like He sets each one of us free. Think about it. The first thing, you know, at the most prominent time, He saw from a distance His apostles in the boat when a ferocious storm came up. And He saw that in that storm, wherever He was offshore, He, who just had died for them, He entered into their confusion, their fears, their anxiety. What did He do? He went to them. He went to them. In the midst of the storms, and He walked on the water to get to them right away. And they were scared, right? They were so afraid. Then Peter said something so powerful when he realized it was Jesus. He said, He was a sinful man. Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. How many times have you and I felt like that? How can you love me, Lord? How can you look at me weak when I try to be strong? How can you look at me when I'm hurting and broken and love me into wholeness? How can He do that? Because He's God, and He's the only one that can do that. And He gives His mother, the beautiful gift of spiritual motherhood over each one of us. And he will allow her heart to triumph. Make no doubt about it. This beautiful Holy Mother of God, this beautiful Mother of ours. You cannot separate the Son from the Mother, ever. Jesus took his flesh from his mother. He took his blood from his mother. Because this was a child of the Most High God, born of the Virgin Mary. It's the only time ever when someone's referring to their seed and their genealogy, it's always this person from that person, and this person was begotten from that person. It was always the man. The man's seed. But not so with Mary, our mother. Not so. Mary would be the one that the Son of God would be born of, her seed. It would be Mary, the Mother of the Most High, the Mother of God in the person of the second person of the Trinity. More mother than queen. Jesus just says when he walked on the water to get to his disciples, because in the midst of the storm they were afraid, they were losing hope, and the wind was very heavy. And it said that the boat was in turmoil, and the people, his apostles, were scared. And what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid, it is I. My brothers and sisters, is there something going on in your life? Are you afraid? Is there something so strong of a pull on you that you have a fear, whether it's for your children, your family, or the economy, your lifestyle or their lifestyle? What is it? Because the Lord is saying to you today, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says to each of us today, be not afraid, it is I. And he is in the midst of everything that's rocking our boots. He is in the midst. When the winds come so strong, try to shake our faith. He's in the midst of the storms and the tragedies of life. But he wants you to know, it is I. Be not afraid. I am with you. He's always with us. And just as he went right to the apostles when he saw them in that boat afraid, and he calls to Peter, tells him to come. Remember, they thought it was a ghost. They were scared to death. But Jesus says, be not afraid. It's I. Whatever's going on in your life, whether you feel like you're not appreciated or alienated or ditched or betrayed or you're sick or suffering or someone in your family or your loved ones or your friends, whatever's grieving your heart, he wants you to know he's got it. He wants you to know that without any inner doubt, through the storm, however it hits, fear not, it is I. The great I am, not the great I was, not the great I will be, the great I am. I am your Lord. I'm your Savior. I'm your Redeemer. I'm your Counselor. I am your all in all. Isn't that what God tells us? And he walks to us when he sees us in the midst of a storm in our lives. And he wants us to know, It is I. I've got this. And so I really want us to focus on these days ahead that will be dark times and confusing times, and literally when all hell breaks loose. And I say that in the right sense, not as a curse. Hell. When all the demons who are out now trying to devour every soul they can, even more will come. And we just have to remember who's God and who's the illusion. There's one imitator. One imitator. And then there is one who is true and all-powerful. And he's the one that tells us when the enemy whispers fear and, you know, anxiety and stirs up hatred and bitterness and resentment. And it is the Lord, the all-powerful one, that will calm the storms in our life. We have to remember, he says, I am, not I will. Be. I'll be there and just go through it. No. He doesn't say I was. He says I am. I am. It is I. Be not afraid. And so for you and I, we had to hold on to those words. And we had to remember the reason the enemy comes after us is because Jesus has given us his word. And it reigns in our heart and our mind and in our spirit. And it encourages us to go forth and to speak his word to others so they too can come and believe. Our God living in us. We living in him. That others might come to believe through our words. Through our actions more than anything else. They will watch to see if we're authentic. That's the greatest, you know, you talk about show and tell. You can read a lot of things that don't mean they'll be true, but when you see, as John said in the beginning of his gospel, what I have seen with my own eyes, what I have heard with my own ears, what I have touched, that's how he tells us about Jesus. You and I have seen with our own eyes. We have heard with our own ears. We have touched God every time we received the Blessed Eucharist. We meet him every time we go to confession. We meet him in each other. This is a Eucharistic age, make no doubt about it. We will see miraculous things happen through the power and the anointing of Jesus Christ, true God, true man, through the power of his spirit that he left us to overcome. What does Jesus say? What's he tell us? He says, be not afraid of the things in the world. For I, who am in you, are far greater than he who is in the world. This is his promise to us. I am victor. And you will be victorious in me. Do not take your eyes off of me. Do not pay any attention to the lies of the enemy or of those who stir up fear. They're trying to control you. All these things, the enemy wants to rob us of peace, so we will not be able to be active, that we will not be able, by the word that God has placed in us and by the power of the Spirit, to speak unto the unction and the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit to others. This is what the enemy wants to shut us down. He wants to set us down, knock us down, and try to rob us. You know, Jesus said something beautiful to Peter. Right? It was Peter, the first pope, who denied who denied Jesus. And he was told when he heard the croak, you know, when the rooster would croak, and it happened, and he wept bitterly. Jesus told him that would happen when he denied him three times. My brothers and sisters, Peter wept bitterly. That's what the scripture says. He wept bitterly. But Jesus, just like he did when he seen his apostles and disciples in that boat being afraid or being sad, thinking they're going to lose their life or whatever was going through their mind, he went to them. He says, "Be not afraid, it is I." And he did the same thing with Peter. He saw Peter weeping bitterly, so sorry. Such repentance that he betrayed our Lord, just as Jesus prophesied he would. But Jesus came to him in his weakness and his brokenness. Why? Because he knew that Peter loved him above all else. And it was his human weakness. But he never gave up. Judas gave up. He felt his sin could never be forgiven. And so he lost all hope and despaired and took his own life. But Peter just was heartbroken that he failed Jesus. He was heartbroken because he denied him three times. But Jesus saw him in his wounded heart, feeling like the failure, this big sinner, and he went to him. And he said, "Peter, Satan wanted you. He wanted to sift you. Peter, I will give you three sentences to redeem your three denials of me. Feed my sheep." Again and again. Then he says this to Peter. "Now that you are strengthened, you must go and feed your brothers. Now that you have received healing, you must go and heal them. Peter, now you've been made whole. You must go and strengthen your brothers." That is the word that he was given. You must go and strengthen your brothers. We're all fall short of the glory. We're all sinners. We're all broken. But every time we go to confession, we hear, we should hear. Kathleen, you failed. You fell into sin. Now I healed you. I strengthened you. Now go and heal and strengthen your brothers and your sisters. That's what he says to each one of us. Because when we know him and love him, we sin. But we are aware of our sins right away. It's because of concupiscence. Oh, we don't commit these big deal sins. But all the little ones puts a spot on our soul. Till finally our souls are dingy. And when we run to the sacraments, Jesus comes. He sees our brokenness, our sorrow. He sees our repentance. He says, "Oh, Satan wanted to sift you. But now I have healed you. Go and strengthen your brothers and sisters. Strengthen your children. Strengthen your mates. Strengthen your parents. Strengthen those that you know and come in contact with. Strengthen those who hate you, Kathleen. Ouch, that's a hard one. I'm sure there's people that hate me, I'm sure. But they're the very ones the Lord wants me to strengthen. Who in your life rubs you the wrong way or talks about you or doesn't treat you with maybe the respect that you should have, or maybe gossips about you, or maybe lies about you, call many terrible sin. Sometimes people take a whole lifetime to build up a beautiful reputation, and so often gossip or a lie can tear it down in a moment. So each one of us are called to remember the Lord did not leave us orphaned, but he left us a sacramental church. And yes, you know, people say they don't need confession or don't need to confess sins to a priest. Neither do I. I confess my sins to Jesus Christ, true God and true man, that is in every confessional and within the priest, waiting to hear me come and confess my sins. The priest is in that confessional, but the one that is really listening and forgiving us, persona Christi, personally, Christ is in the priest. And when Father talks or tries to guide us, it's Jesus speaking to us. And when the priest raises his hand to absolve us, he doesn't do it in his name. He doesn't have the power. The power is in Jesus, the high priest, and through every priest who gives that blessing. He says, I bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, make a good act of contrition and go in peace, you know. What an awesome, merciful, loving God we have. But he's a just God, my brothers and sisters. I've been saying it all along for as far back as I can remember, and I've been really led to say it more and more in my Wake Up America dinner. Be aware. Be aware. Be available. To go for the Lord wherever he sends us and to whomever he sends us, and be prepared that he might call us home one day. Doesn't matter when the world's going to end. Our world might end today or tomorrow or the next day. People that are going today assume they would be here today, yesterday, and they might have been called home. We only have today. So my brothers and sisters, why don't you give me a call? We can get a couple calls in before I go off the air. Again, 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. I would also ask you to remember Albert and Gavin, a special friend I've been praying for, a complete miraculous cure. I ask you, please, to pray for my dear friend and my brother-in-law's mother, Fran. Pray for her soul. She's on hospice right now. I ask you to pray for one another with a fervent heart, but I also ask you to remember that your mother is the mother of all of her spiritual children. And so pray that the hands that nurse our little baby Jesus, the hands that wash them and bathe them, the hands that cradle them at our breast to nourish and feed them, the hands that touched his scraped knees or held him close and walked with him while he broke teeth, this tender, loving, beautiful Mother Mary, still in this month of May. Remember, she is more mother than queen, but she is queen of heaven and earth. And our queen has indeed the king's ear always to Jesus through Mary. So my brothers and sisters, you know, you might have heard me tell this story, but when I was a little kid, I was pretty small always. Not that I'm a giant today. I'm still very small. But I remember I couldn't see. My parents took me to the big Wanamaker show downtown at Christmas, and everybody was in front of me. I was getting frustrated. I couldn't see the show, and I wasn't aware what was taking place. And I remember tugging on my mother's sweater. She looked down, and I said, "I can't see. I can't see anything. I can't see clear. I can't see anything." I remember her reaching down, and my mother was little, and she picked me up, and where I could see everything clearly. Things seem a little confusion to you, or you question things. Tug on Mama Mary's mantle. She'll lift you right up. She'll hold you close to her immaculate heart, the same heart she laid her baby Jesus on. And she will watch over us, protect us, petition Jesus for all healing, physical, spiritual, or mental, or emotional. So that's it. I love you. I ask you to hit your share button, please. Please let this word go out. I believe there's a message in it that's going to touch even the hardest of hearts today. That's what the Lord spoke to my heart just now. Hit your share button, my brothers and sisters. I want you to stay tuned. I believe Dr. Raimondo will be on. He's a beautiful soul, beautiful, gifted man of faith and hope and trust. So stay tuned for Dr. Raimondo.